The meaning of rejection is the absence of meaningful love. We all go through life and get disappointed. We all at times are hurt. And maybe you have been hurt today. I don't know why the Lord's got this message on my heart, but I do believe that God is going to encourage us today. What do you do when you don't know what to do? When you don't know what to do, what do you do? And I've got a feeling there's some of us today that we just don't know what to do. We just are in a situation and maybe you just can't figure it out and you just don't know what to do. Well, I've got good news for you. God wants us to turn and trust in Him with all of our heart. What do you do when you don't know what to do? I met with a family this week of 62-year-old lady who had been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. And she had been going back and forth to Emory. I got the call to preach her funeral, actually. And I went and met with her and her husband. And long story short, she's been going through this treatment at Emory Hospital. And for some strange reason, unexplainable reason, I might add, the chemotherapy has created some antibodies in her body that should be fighting off the cancer, but is not. Rather, it's attacking her brain, and it's deteriorating her physically and emotionally and spiritually. It's just a very strange, rare situation. What do you do when you don't know what to do? She's a Christian, hallelujah, and God can heal. How many believe that God can heal? How many believe that He's in the healing business? And praise the Lord. Let me just put it this way. How many of you has He healed your body? Let me see your hand. There have been many of us could stand and say, God, you've been Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. You heal us spiritually. You heal us physically. You heal us emotionally. And there may be some of us today that need some emotional healing. You've been through some stuff in your life. You've been through experiences. But God says you're not finished. I'm going to carry you through that. There can be healing. There can be hope. Thank God, because there's help in the Lord. Somebody say amen. Hey, listen, how many of you have already decided, you've already made up your mind that you're not going to be put on a machine when the time comes, if that time comes, for you to pass over onto the other side? By the way, how many of you are looking forward to going to the other side? I'm telling you what, heaven's a real place for the real people. And my soul, the eye had not seen, nor the ear heard, nor the inner the heart of a man, what the Lord prepared for them that love Him, as the book of Corinthians Paul wrote. But let me just ask you this. How many of you already determined you're not going to be put on a machine? I mean, no, if it's my time to go, hallelujah, I'm ready to go. We got to be ready to go. Well, don't put me on a ventilator. I've talked with several people, and I know you have as well, that have decided, I'm not going to be on any kind of machine. Don't put me on a machine. Speaking of that, I heard about a man that was sitting there watching the ball game, and his wife walked in, and they were watching a commercial, and the commercial said, concerning this ventilator, said, all you've got to do, this is a simple procedure. If you ever get down and it just looks like you're going to pass over from this life to the life to come, just get attached to this respirator, this ventilator. Well, the old husband looked at his wife. He said, honey, you see that commercial on television about that ventilator? He said, I will never, ever want to go on a ventilator. He said, as a matter of fact, if I don't want to ever be dependent upon a machine, period. If I'm ever dependent on a machine, I want you to pull the plug. Pull the plug. She walked over there and unplugged the television. Amen. Pull the plug. Well, I don't know about that, but you know they say TV is more addicting than cocaine. Hey, look, this morning, what do you do when you don't know what to do? Look with me, please, in the book of Hosea. Turn to that Old Testament passage. God has been speaking to my heart this week about this, and I think there must be something for somebody today. In the book of Hosea, we're looking today at chapter 1 of Hosea. The title is, When You Don't Know What to Do. And basically, we're going to take two steps today as we think for a moment about how to get back to where we ought to be with the Lord and how to get back where we ought to be with our loved ones. Tell me, now you don't have to raise your hand as you're turning the book of Hosea. How many of you have a strained relationship with your children or your grandchildren? How many today have a strained relationship with your mama or daddy or your grandparents? There's probably a lot of us here today that things aren't just right. Well, I want you to know it don't have to be that way. It doesn't have to stay that way. Thanks be to God. God wants us to reconcile our differences not only with Him, but with each other. Maybe there's some husbands and wives or married couples here today that there is a strained relationship. In the book of Hosea, and I don't know if you're able, if you are, if you'd like to stand as we read the wonderful word of God today, we're looking at Hosea chapter 1. And then we're going to look at chapter 2 and then chapter 3. In the book of Hosea, I want to begin reading in verse 1 of the book of Hosea. And we're going to read through verse 3. The word of the Lord that came unto Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, the beginning of the word, notice verse 2, the beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea, and the Lord said to Hosea, go take unto thee, notice, a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms, for the land had committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. Verse 3. So he, meaning Hosea, went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bare him a son. I want to pause right there for a moment to simply fill in the blank. Verse 4 following tells us of these three children. A son, a daughter, and another son was born to Hosea and to Gomer. The son's name is Jezreel, the daughter, the second daughter in verse 6, Lo Ruhamah, and then there's another son born in verse 9, Lo Ammi. First, there's Jezreel. Say that with me. Jezreel. Say it again. Jezreel. And that means vengeance or God's souls. Secondly, Lo Ruhamah. Say that name with me. Lo Ruhamah. One more time. Lo Ruhamah is found in verse 6. That name means uncompassionate. That's the daughter that was given to this husband, wife, Hosea and Gomer. Then Lo Ammi is the last child in verse number 9. Then said God, call his name Lo Ammi. Say it with me. Lo Ammi. All right. Here, now I want you to turn to chapter 2. Look at chapter 2 with me for a moment. And skip down to verse number 5 in chapter 2 of the book of Hosea. God has instructed Hosea several things. We're going somewhere today. We're going somewhere. Follow with me, chapter 2, verse 5. If you're in chapter 2, verse 5, say amen. God is saying, for their mother hath played the harlot. She had conceived them and hath done shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers that give me my bread and my water and my wool and my flax and mine oil and my drink. Therefore, behold, I will build a hedge. I will hedge up thy way with thorns and make a wall that she shall not find her path. And she shall follow, I'm reading from chapter 2, verse 7. And she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them. And she shall seek them, but shall not find them. Then shall she say, I will go and return to my first husband. For then it was better with me than now. May God bless the reading of His Word. Look at chapter 3 with me. Just a couple more verses and then we're going to pray. Chapter 3 of the book of Hosea. Chapter 3, verse 1. Look at it, please. Then said the Lord unto me, go yet, love a woman, beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love flagons of wine, raisin cakes. Verse 2. And that is, by the way, the essence of this whole account of Hosea. God is demonstrating His unconditional love to His people. That is, the wife of the Father is Israel, likened unto Jesus and the church. We are the bride of Christ. Look at verse 2. So I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver and for a homer of barley and a half homer of barley. That is, for 15 pieces of silver. Now we're going to stop there. Father, I ask now in the name of Jesus, encourage us today. Lord, illumine our eyes and quicken our hearts and give us ears to hear you, hearts to obey you. Lord, I'm hungry and thirsty today. Lord, I know people need a word from you. Not I, but Christ lives in me. So I must decrease, but you must increase. We pray now that you'll give us, Father, wisdom and understanding exactly what you're speaking to us about today. And Lord, remove any and all distractions and all the cares of this life. We ask, Father, that you give us a focus on your will, your way, your word for your glory. We thank you again for your great unconditional love. Lord, I just want to bless you again and thank you for changing us. Thank you for ministering to our hearts. Thank you, Jesus, for being so good. Even though I'm unworthy, we're unworthy. And we just look to you now that you'll give us grace to put our total trust in you. Whatever we're going through, Father, and we ask this with thanksgiving and praise because you alone are worthy. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. You may be seated. All right, where are we going? We're going with a thought today on the matter of what do you do when you don't know what to do? First of all, I want to take two steps. The first step is this. Sometimes we've just got to trust. Follow, see if you agree with me. Sometimes we've just got to trust even though we can't figure it out. Sometimes we've just got to trust the Lord even though we can't figure it out. How many agree with that? Some of us are going through some stuff right now, and you can't figure it out. There's some you're saying, Lord, I don't know why I'm going through this. I don't know why they're acting like this. I don't know, Lord, why this particular situation is happening to me. But God, I'm going to trust you. Somebody say amen. I'm going to trust you. There's some of us today that are in a situation like perhaps Hosea, and you just don't know what you're going to do. What do you do when you don't know what to do? When you can't figure it out? Us men, we like to figure things out. And here's two parts to the message today that God spoke to my heart about this week to share with you. Two parts. Number one, Hosea's family. And number two, Hosea's faith. First, consider with me Hosea's family. All right? Who is this family? Who is this man? He's called a prophet of God to prophesy and to declare to the northern kingdom of Israel God's will concerning Israel. And by the way, again, I'm repeating that God was showing Hosea his unconditional love to his people Israel and teaching Hosea to show unconditional love to his unfaithful wife. How many know that it takes God's grace to show love when somebody don't love you? Come on. It's easy to love those that love you. It's easy to be nice and kind to those that are nice and kind to us. But what happens when they're not nice? What happens when they don't do what we want them to do? Well, that's another story altogether. What happens when we're in debt and we don't, and maybe it's our own doing, maybe it's circumstances we couldn't control? What do you do when you can't figure out? What do you do when you can't figure out that child or that grandchild that making some bad decisions and you'd love to be able to fix it? And anybody know what I'm talking about? You'd love to be able to turn some knob or get a screwdriver and fix it. Us men know about all of that stuff. But we come sometimes to situations that we can't fix the problem, and therefore we have to trust God. How many know that it's better to trust the Lord and believe God than to drink Maalox and to live on the antidepressant pills for the whole our lifetime? I'm not knocking medicine, but I'm saying sometimes God wants us to just say, Lord, I want to put my weight on you. I want to put my trust in you. I've got to. Now, I know you're trusting the Lord this morning, right? You are trusting the Lord this morning. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him. He shall direct your path. But are you putting all your weight on him? Are you putting your total weight on him? Are you relying upon Him totally? I've got a feeling some of us are anxious today and worried and we're troubled and we've got our nerves are on end because we hadn't put our total trust in the Lord. Is there anybody here today that would say, bless God, Pastor, that's me. I've been trying to handle this thing alone. I've been trying to bear this burden alone. I've been trying to carry this and fix this and change the situation. But not anymore. Today I'm going to lay this burden on the Lord. I'm going to cast all my care upon Jesus because He cares for me. Amen and amen and amen. He cares for you. He cares for me. He loves us. Now, first of all, notice Hosea's family. God is teaching Hosea to love with an unconditional, irreversible, non-explainable, I mean, a non-understandable love. Do you have that kind of love? Do I have that kind of love? I don't think so. Not outside the grace of God. But I can see Hosea. Watch him now. Have you ever been in a situation where God, wait a minute, where God asked you to do something and you didn't know why God asked you to do it? Have you ever been in a situation, I'm repeating this, where you didn't know what God was up to in a situation? Why you were going through what you were going through? Well, Lord, I'm trying to serve you. Lord, I'm trying to be faithful. God, and why is all this stuff happening? Y'all know what I'm talking about. You're with me. You're on the same page. Why is this stuff happening, Lord? Why am I going through all these tests, all these tribulations, all these trials? Lord, what are you up to in my life? Can I tell you this? I can see Hosea. Bible doesn't say this, but I can imagine in my mind. God comes to Hosea and says, Hosea, I want you to marry a woman of the whoredom named Gomer. What? Me? Marry an unfaithful woman? Why, God? Now, the Bible doesn't say that, but in my sanctified imagination, I would have said that, you'd have said that, you'd have said that, we'd all have said that, amen? And so here is Hosea, wait a minute, I can't figure this out. God, why would you ask me? Now, the Lord, I would love to be joined to, you know, someone who's going to be faithful and somebody who's going to be dependable. But God, you're telling me to marry this unfaithful woman named, something's wrong. What is God getting Hosea to do? He's getting Hosea to learn to trust Him. Learn to trust Him. Now, I'm not saying that God would ever tempt us to sin against Him. Aren't you glad that Jesus, He hates our sin, but He loves a sinner? I'm glad that He loves us. Girls, you all know that He loves you? Do you really know how much Jesus loves you? I mean, do you really know? When's the last time you thought about the great love of God? Have you thought about that lately? He has got a great love for us. I can't get over it. How the Lord would love me and how the Lord would save me. Is there anybody here that's been through some stuff in your life and the sin has piled up and the devil has done his dirty work? And had God not have snatched you out of the flames of hell, you'd be in the lake of fire today. Is there anybody here that would say, had it not have been for the love of God, I'd be gone astray. I'd be down the wide and the broad gate. But God in mercy and God in grace and God in love reached down, pulled me up, and put my feet on the solid rock. Somebody say glory. Yes, it was God. It was the love of God, the great love of God. So Hosea said, I don't know why I'm doing this. I don't understand that. It reminds me of the little boy that went to school. Sometimes we don't understand, but we just got to trust the Lord. The little boy went to school. You remember the story? His teacher said, son, I want everybody in the class to stand up and say the pledge of the flag of the United States of America. Say the pledge of allegiance. She said, I want you to put your right hand on your heart and say this pledge. The little boy stood up, put his hand on his rear end. She said, son, what in the world are you doing? She said, son, and he put his hand on his behind. She said, son, I said to put your hand on your heart and say the pledge of the flag of the United States of America. She said, what are you doing? That's not your heart. He said, yes, ma'am, don't you understand? When grandma comes and sees me, she always pats me right back there and says, bless your little heart, bless your little heart. Can I tell you, sometimes we don't understand. We don't understand. And some of you can act like theologians if you want to. You can act like scholars if you want to. You can act like you've got God figured out. But I've got news for you. None of us have God figured out. God is God. He will not share His glory with another. He's immutable. He doesn't change. He's transcendent. He's above all creation. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He is beyond the man's puny comprehension. He is God, the supreme, mighty God, all-wise God. We don't think thoughts like He does. Isaiah said that, Isaiah 55:8-9. Our thoughts are not God's thoughts. Our ways are not God's ways. The heavens are higher than the earth, so are God's thoughts higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. But wait a minute. I'm glad that God, in mercy, loved Israel. And He loves me and He loves you. Well, so, number one, Hosea's family. He's told to marry this unfaithful lady named Gomer. Now, I want to draw some personal application. Right now, you're saying, Lord, I want to be faithful to You, and I just want to put my trust in You. But now, for a moment, not only consider Hosea's family, I want you to see for a moment who he's told to marry. You know who it is. Look at chapter 1, verse 1 again, verse 2. The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea said to the Lord unto Hosea, go take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms, for the land had committed great whoredoms departing from the Lord. And then I want you to notice for a moment. So he went. Look at this, verse 3. He went. He obeyed God. When God tells you to do something, how many believe you ought to do it? What's God telling you to do today? What's God telling you to do today? Is God saying, that neighbor over there, I know you've been talking about him for a long time, but it's time to go talk with them personally about their eternal destination. I know you've been mentioning about helping somebody and giving this to somebody, but it's time to stop talking about it, and it's time to start doing it. Don't just be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. Obey the Lord. It's better to obey than to sacrifice. What's God telling you to do today? Is God telling you to... There's some things in your life that are not pleasing to the Lord, and that attitude and those bad habits, you know, that you just need to break free. I talked with a lady this week. She is in her mid-50s, and the reality dawned on her that she's going to be in this physical condition for the rest of her life. One person this week asked me, said, Pastor, pray for me. I know I need to quit this bad habit, but I can't quit. Just do it. Just do it. Trust the Lord and do it. Go marry this unfaithful woman. Now watch this. Can you imagine Gomer and Hosea? What do you do when you don't know what to do? What do you do when you can't figure it out? You put your trust in Jesus. Now I can see Hosea now in my mind's eye. Wait a minute. God, you're telling me to marry this girl named Gomer that might have gonorrhea. Hello, are you with me? This girl named Gomer might have gonorrhea. I mean, she's, everybody knows her. I can see old Hosea as he gets ready to go over there and find Gomer. Where is this girl? Where is this girl, Father God, you told me to marry? She's over there at the dance hall. Can you see her in your mind's eye? She's having fun. She's living it up. She's just partying. That's what the world tells us. Hold on. Hold that thought. And God says, I want you to marry her, unfaithful. Speaking of that, you know, isn't it disturbing? Y'all see if you're with me now. See if you're with me. Isn't it disturbing that the Hollywood stars and the sports stars see how many people they can sleep with? Hello? Have you noticed that? I've slept with 33 people, and I've slept with this many people, and that seems to be something to be proud over. Can y'all hear me? Have y'all noticed that? This is 2014, right? Okay, making sure. But listen to me, young people. God has given us this desire of sex within the confines of marriage. Let me just preach about that for a moment, okay? Why? Because we need to get a biblical perspective of it, not a worldly perspective of it. The devil has taken a God-given desire and perverted it. Somebody say amen. But it's a God-given desire in the confines of marriage. That's the way the Lord has intended. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 2 says, marriage is honorable and the bed undefiled. Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 18, Solomon wrote and said, he said, rejoice in the wife of your youth. And that word rejoice, I'm not going to get into the graphics of that word rejoice, but you can check it out and look at it later. Let thy fountain be blessed. No wonder God says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, cleave to his wife. God has given us a desire to have intimacy and procreate within the confines of marriage. But our world, our culture has perverted that and made it something that it wasn't intended to be in the first place. Did you hear about the little boy? 3 years old, four going on four. He said to his mama, went up to his mama and his daddy, said, Mama and Daddy, how did I get here? They said, son, don't you know a stork brought you and put you on the front doorstep? A stork, S-T-O-R-K, a stork. He said, really? And he ran to his grandparents and said, Grandpa, he said, how did I get here? The grandpa said, son, don't you know that a stork brought you and put you on the front doorstep? He said, really? He ran to his great-grandpa and said, great-grandpa, how did I get here? And the great-grandpa said, son, don't you know that it was a stork that brought you and put you on the front doorstep? The little boy said, I didn't know that. And he went running out in the playground. And he said, hey, to all of his buddies, we hadn't had a normal birth in three generations in our house, all right? Even children know the difference in that. Give me a break. Like the little boy that was sitting there watching the cow being born. It reminded me of the story. The mama cow was giving birth to the baby calf. And the grandson is watching his grandpa deliver that calf. And as the grandpa delivers that baby calf, how many know what I'm talking about? And the grandson, he's intrigued. He's up on the fence. He's gazing and taking in every moment of it. He's absolutely amazed at what he's watching. And finally, as the little calf is being born, the grandpa looks at his grandson and says, son, what do you think about that? And the grandboy says, son, he said, Grandpa, I just want to know one thing. How fast was that calf running when it hit that mama cow? That's all I want to know. Sex is a God-given blessing within the confines of marriage. So number one, Hosea's family. Now follow with me. I want to introduce you not only to Hosea's family, but Hosea's faith. How many believe that God can move mountains in your life? How many believe that God can open doors in your life? How many believe that God will as you trust Him? How many believe that God can heal your body when it's sick, all right? How many believe that God can supply your needs, all right? Wait a minute, I'm looking at some men and women in the house of God today. If I didn't know you, I wouldn't know any better, but I'm looking at some faces where I've seen Almighty God rend the heavens. I've seen Him open up the windows of heaven and pour out His blessing on you, and many of you have been blessed beyond measure because God's been good to you and He wants glory. Amen and amen. And God is good all the time. Amen and amen and amen. And some of you, you've been doing some things, and as you look back on your life, you didn't know how God would provide, but He's provided for you. He's been faithful. Has He ever let you down? Has God ever let you down? Is He going to let you down? Why can't we trust Him now? You can trust Him now. You will trust Him now. You'll do it now. You'll trust Him right now, won't you? You'll do it now, won't you? Yeah, I'm going to trust the Lord now, right this moment. And the church said, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. You've been faithful. You've been good. You provided. There's no reason why I should doubt you. There's no reason why I should question you. I'm going to cast all my care on you, God, because you've been good to me. You are my rock and my salvation. You are my exceeding great reward. You are my strength. How many believe that whatever tomorrow may bring, God will give you the strength to face it? He said, underneath us are His everlasting arm. He said, above us is His all-seeing eye. Wait a minute. Last time I read it, it was in Philippians 4 and 13. If you know it, sit with me. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Say it again with me. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. One more time. Say it like you mean it. Do you really mean it? Do you really mean it? Do you really mean those words? Yes. God said you can do it. Oh, listen. Just by affirming what the Lord of God has said, it's amazing how that's a faith builder. Hosea's family, Hosea's faith. Hosea said, God, I can't figure this out, but I'm going to put my trust in you. I'm going to believe you, for faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. Is there anybody here that's been in doubt? Is there anybody here that's been afraid about tomorrow? Afraid about the stock market? Afraid about the economy? Afraid about your health? Fearful about what tomorrow may bring? Jesus said, take no thought of tomorrow, for tomorrow is sufficient thereof. But today, take thought of today. Today is sufficient thereof. Take no thought of tomorrow. Oh, listen, I'm telling you this, that God said he's going to meet the needs we've got. Some of us, we're trying to figure God out. Some of us are trying to explain God, and it causes a short circuit. Listen, God wants us to trust in him. By the way, that's Matthew chapter 6 and verse 34 if you want to look it up. Wait a minute. And by the way, that's in the context of the flowers not worrying about where they're going to get their clothes, and the birds not going to worry about where they're going to get their food, that God is going to provide for them. Hosea's faith. He's going to believe God. He can't figure it out. How many today you've been carrying that burden around long enough? You've been worried about that thing long enough. You know it's not what's you're eating that's bothering you. It's what's eating you that's bothering you. Today God says take that burden, as 1 Peter 5 and 7 says, cast all your care upon the Lord because he cares for you. Psalm 55 and 22 says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, for he shall sustain thee. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. How many daddies and mamas we got today that are concerned about your children and their well-being, and who they're going to marry, what kind of job they're going to have, and able to provide for them, their physical health? How many today would say, Pastor, I've been concerned, I've been consumed, I've been affected, I'm finding myself anxious and worried and troubled about the troubles of this old life and the things that are going on? But God's telling me today, no need. How many believe that the Lord is still on his throne? He is. We've read the last page. Let's trust him, beloved. Let's trust him. Let's believe him. Let's cast our burden on him today. Let's say, God. You say, but Pastor, I do that. The question is not, do you do that? The question is, when's the last time you did that? Hello? Ha, ha, ha. You probably hadn't done that in a while. And you probably picked up that burden. Come on, talk to me. You probably picked up that burden. You know that you gave it to the Lord a few months ago, but you picked it back up and you've been carrying it still, and it's weighing you down, and you just need to take it to the Lord today. Amen and amen and amen. And say, God, I'm tired of carrying this weight. It's about to weigh me down. It's about to carry me under. But God, you can carry it for me. How many believe that God will carry the heavy end for you if you let him? Well, let's do it. Faith. Secondly, I want you to see briefly in not only Hosea, what do you do when you can't figure out? You trust the Lord. Sometimes we can't figure things out. We just got to trust the Lord. Number two, that's the second step. That's the first step. The second step is this, namely, sometimes, watch this, sometimes we don't understand. I got to thinking about this. Sometimes we don't understand the grace of God and the love of God. We don't understand it fully, but we ought to love the Lord and serve the Lord and thank him daily because of his grace. How many are grateful to God for his grace? How many are grateful to God for his great love? Watch this. First, I want you to see for a moment this dear woman, Gomer, her disgrace, and then see God's grace in place. First, Gomer's disgrace. You see that in chapter 2? Her disgrace. She is saying, now listen, don't miss this. How many of us today, we feel like, well, I know all this stuff, preacher, you're preaching about Jesus and all this stuff, and he's our life, and he's our joy, and he's our peace, and he's our strength. But, there's some stuff out there I feel like I gotta have. I gotta have the right, the television tells me and the culture says, you gotta have this. If you don't have this, you're missing something. Have you ever noticed that? The devil wants you to think that if you don't have this, you're missing something. If you don't have this right car, if you don't have this truck, if you don't have this house, if you don't have this woman, if you don't have this man, if you don't have this material possession, you gotta have this, you gotta have this, and this is what's gonna make you happy, and this is what's gonna make you content. But how many know the devil's a liar? And how many know that those things may bring temporary satisfaction, but not full contentment and fulfillment in life? And so Gomer, look at her disgrace. She's married to a faithful husband. You'd think that would be all she needed. She's got 3 children, 2 boys and a girl. Why isn't she happy? Am I preaching to anybody today? You haven't been happy. Things just ain't, you just can't, you just aren't happy. I talked with a man, you wouldn't know who he is, so he told me this week, I don't think you'd know him. He doesn't live in the community. He said, I've been divorced 2 weeks. I said, really? I sat down and talked with him for a while. I said, really? What's going on? He said, nothing I could do would make my wife happy. I talked with another man. He's been married 4 years. He stopped me, just began to talk and talk and talk. This is a whole other situation. He said, nothing to make my wife happy. I said, really? And he began to tell me, he's only been married 4 years. How many know that's too early to know? I said, hey, brother, just hang in there, amen. Joy comes in the morning. I said, by the way, any man tells you he understands his wife, he'll lie about anything, all right? Don't you believe him. But anyway, hey, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Wives, see that you respect your husband. Wait a minute, I want to drop something in right there. I just feel impressed, didn't plan. You know what a man wants? Wives, listen to me. You know what a man wants? A man wants to be respected. Y'all listen. This is good. Take notes. Not because I'm saying it, but because it's true. But you know what a woman wants? A woman wants to be loved. A woman wants to be loved. A man wants to be respected. Write that down. Mark that down. Practice that. God will begin to bless your relationship. A woman wants to be loved. That affirmation, that affection, da da da. And then a man wants to be respected. When he's disrespected, he gets thrown into a tailspin. None of you men would like to probably say amen at that point, but you know what I'm saying is true. And there's nothing more frustrating for a man than when he feels disrespected. And likewise with the wife. But wait a minute. Here's Gomer. You think she'd be happy? No. You know what she's going to do? I'm going to leave Hosea. I got to find my other lovers. They got my corn. They got my oil. I'm going to go have fun. I'm going to go have fun. I'm going to go live it up. I'm not happy, and I want to get happy. The devil's a liar. I said, the devil's a liar. I said, the devil's come to kill, steal, and destroy. Don't you buy into that lie? And there she is. Notice Hosea. God, I thought you told me to marry this lady. Where is she now? I can't find her. We got 3 children in the house. Have you seen her? Have you seen her? Do y'all know where she's at? Where is Gomer? I'm looking for Gomer. Have you seen her? Have any of y'all seen Gomer? You have, haven't you? I know, yep, you know where she's at. She's down there at the dance hall again. What? The dance hall? Hosea. Gomer's disgrace leads to God's grace in place. Aren't you glad for God's grace? Hey, don't get too hard on Gomer. We were all like Gomer, and we can be just like Gomer right now when we commit spiritual adultery. Uh-oh, that hurt. You see, when we put anything before the Lord Jesus, any sport, any activity, any pleasures before the Lord, it becomes spiritual adultery. Oh, wow, that hurt. Yeah, that's true. James said that. He said, "No, you're not, that friendship with the world is enmity against God. Therefore, whosoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." That's why John said, and that's in the book of James chapter 4. That's why John said, "Love not the world, neither the things of the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of God, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God shall abide forever." 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. And you see, we're to love the Lord our God with what? All of our what? Heart. And what else? Soul. And what else? Our mind. Do you love God? Do you love God with your mind? Do you love God with your soul? Do you love God with your heart? Oh, you see, things pull us away from God. See, Gomer thinks she's going to get her needs met in the world. And we think that, "Jesus, you're not enough. You're not enough, Lord. You're not enough. I need something else to fulfill me." Hey, look, once you discover who Jesus is, you'll find out he's enough. He's enough. If you don't think he's enough, you've not discovered who he is. That's why Paul wrote the book of Colossae to tell that crowd, don't worship angels. Don't cut yourself asceticism and all this practices. Find out who Jesus is. Nobody else can love you like Jesus. Nobody else. There's no man, there's no woman, there's no boy, there's no girl, there's no son, there's no daughter, there's no granddaughter, there's no grand. Stop trying to get your needs met and everybody else. Stop trying to think that they're going to love you with an unconditional love. Get your love in Jesus. Let him love you. Let him fill you up. And then you won't go away empty thinking everybody else can fill you up. They can't do it. Come to Jesus and let him fill you up. Oh, yeah. God's grace is in place. He extends his mighty hand. If we read that last part in chapter 3 of the book of Hosea, Gomer's disgrace, God's grace is in place. She's on the slave market. I'll close with this. She's disgraced. God's not finished. God's not finished. I can see her on the slave market. Five shekels, sold. 10, 15, 15, that man over there, 15, the gavel falls, sold. Come on, what's your name, sir? Hosea. And a barley and a half, a homer, which is, I think, 5 bushels. 5 and a half, which would be 7 and a half. Sold. He redeems her back. Here's what I want you to remember. Jesus redeemed us back. Just like Gomer. The devil put us on his slave market. But thanks be to God for the blood of the Lamb, Jesus. We have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Ephesians 1:7. We're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of the Lamb without spot, without blemish. I want you to know you and I have been bought with a price. Aren't you glad? Oh, God loves you. You want to know if God loves you? You want to know if God, you're not important to him? He bought you with his own blood. He bought me. Let's say, Lord, as we stand to our feet today,